Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Empowerment Place Ministries and another episode of Using My Keys broadcast. This is your hope. Lord help me. We need that. This is your host, Pastor Valerie Burrell, grateful and thankful to God to be with the listening audience again this morning. I am just grateful. I can't explain to you how grateful I am this morning to be on the air. I thank God. For you all who have been with us, you know this month that we've been talking about leadership, the plight of a leader, the characteristics of a leader, the challenges of a leader. And this morning, God wanted me to pose a question to you. Has I am chosen you? And we're going to go in the Word this morning, and we're going to start in the book of Exodus, starting with chapter 3. But let us, Father, we thank you, we praise you, and we glorify you for this, another teaching opportunity, oh God. Father, we ask now that you would anoint this vessel, oh God. God, that you would move through Valerie, Father, that you would speak what you want spoken, that there would be none of me, but yet be all of you. Father, we thank you that every hindrance now is bound. We thank you for the spirits that will receive these seeds, oh God. God, that they would want to be received, be nurtured, and bring forth the leaders that you are calling for in this day. Father, we thank you. We thank you in advance for what's going to take place, and we call it done now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So again, we're going to Exodus chapter 3. I'm going to start at verse 1, and it says, "Now Moses kept the flock at Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Verse 7 says, And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I came down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land into a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of thy children of Israel has come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression here with you. The Egyptians oppressed them. I'm going to skip down to verse 10. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee up unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people and the children of Israel out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly, I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, appeared to me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. I'm going to stop right there. Now, if you know the story of Moses, you know that Moses gone through some things in life. Moses, who was in a day and time that they were ready to take out the firstborn of every family, but was saved and raised as royalty. Moses, who made impacts but had challenges. Moses, who lived for 120 years, and in those 120 years, from his birth until his flight in Midian, as Pharaoh's son, Moses learned how to be somebody. And his second 40 years from the flight into Midian to Exodus, in the desert places, he learned how to become a nobody, but yet in his third 40 years, from Exodus into his own Exodus, as the leader of God's host, he learned that God was everybody, the one he could speak to face to face as man speaks to his friends. Moses, who was chosen as a leader and told to tell the people, I am that I am sent you. Moses, who was raised as an elite, had to flee from that place to find out what his worth was within himself, to know that because of who God had called him to be, because of the path that God was leading him on, there were some changes that were necessary in his life. Most importantly, Moses had to understand that despite what people say or what people have done, that he had to stand up and be who God called him to be. This morning, as you're listening to this message, I know within my spirit that for those who are on the line, for those who are in the chat room, on the internet, God has spoken to you and given you instructions to stand up in some situations that you've ignored. God has called you forth to lead people. Not saying he's called you to lead masses as Moses did, having the people come out of Egypt into a land flowing with milk or honey, but God has called you to a place of leadership. Whether it be a leader in your family, a leader on your job, a leader in the church, a leader in the community, I don't know what aspect it is, but God has spoken to you about standing, taking your rightful place in what he's called you to do. But because of some challenges in your own life, because of some trials and tribulations that you're facing on your own, you're disqualifying yourself when God has already equipped you to be what he's called you to be. I thank God this morning for the capacity and the propensity that he's placed in each one of us to overcome. I'm grateful to God this morning that when he tells us in his word that if we seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that all things shall be added unto us. I'm grateful this morning that despite what I feel like at this very moment, despite what might be going on around me at this very moment, I understand who God has called me to be. I understand the mandate that's on my life. I understand my assignment in the earth. And I will not be swayed. I will not turn back. I will not abort. I will not let go of Father's hand as he leads me into the place where he desires I be. I won't do it. But he's asking each of us this morning, do you realize that I am has chosen you? Has he chosen you? And the answer is yes, he has chosen you. The word tells us in Jeremiah that before he placed us in our mother's womb, he had called us out. He had chosen us for greatness before we were even formed. But yet we get in ourselves. We feel some kind of way because of our lineage. Let's look at Moses. Had Moses not been placed in that river on that bed of reeds and down that river, he would have been killed like every other firstborn child. But God had a plan for his life, that his life was spared, and not just was his life spared, he was picked up by Pharaoh's daughter and raised as royalty. There's some listeners this morning that God has picked up from where your lineage said you should be, and he's raising you up to be royalty. The word tells us that we are a royal priesthood. We are a chosen generation, yet you continue to want to live like you're not his. Says, I am chosen you. That's a question you have to pose to yourself, because I already know the answer. If you have a relationship with the Father, if you're saved this morning, you know just like I do that you have been chosen. See, salvation is a free gift that we have. Salvation is not anything that can be purchased, because Jesus paid the price for our salvation on the cross at Calvary. It's because we want what God wants for us, that we render ourselves, that we believe in our hearts and we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, that he died on the cross and on the third day he arose with all power. Because of that relationship, we know that we are chosen, because we did that choosing. There was a prompting in our spirit that says, it's enough, enough is enough. I need you to get on the path. I need you to get on the path to greatness that I have set for you. He said, this is the day I want you to choose who you will serve. Either you're going to be mine or you're going to be your father, the devil. Come on, somebody on the line this morning realizes that I am has chosen you. But in spite of the fact that he's chosen you, you still are wavering in your walk towards greatness. We've talked about attributes of a leader. We've talked about characteristics of a leader this month. We've talked about the necessity of those leading and those who are being led to be of one accord. Come on, if you're not in alignment with the word of God, if you're not in alignment with your purpose, what God has called you to do, right now you're in a struggle. You're in a struggle. Because you don't know whether to go left or whether to go right. You don't know whether to stand still or move. You don't, you know, stand up, sit down. You don't know what to do because you're not in alignment with what God has called you to. But I want to encourage you this morning. I want to encourage you this morning that despite what you have gone through, God is speaking to you. God wants you to lead like you've never led before. He wants you
to show forth his glory in everything that you say and do. And I'm going to say that again, in everything that you say and do, because here we are now in a time where people can talk good. They talk a good talk. But when you look at their life is not mirroring what's been spoken out of their mouth. God needs us to be true ambassadors for the kingdom of God. He wants our audio to match our video. I preached that some time ago. He wants when people see us, that they not see us, but they see the glory of God that is upon us. They see us doing the things that God has called us to. They see us being the leaders that he needs us to be in this season. Right now I'm in school, and I thank God for the ability to get some things done. But my first assignment this week was to give my thoughts on the theory that most exemplifies the state of this nation. The theory that I chose was secularization. Why? Oh, that's easy. When we take a look at everything that's going on here in these United States of America, where we're harping on freedom of religion, we've got rights to do this, we've got rights to do this, all these things, yeah, we abide by Constitution. We put in God we trust on our money, yet we make decisions as a nation to do everything contrary to what God says. Why? Because we want to appease our flesh. What is being secular? Secular is doing those things, actions and activities outside of what's written in the Word, in our religious setting. We're secular in our thinking. We're secular in our activities. And because of that, now we are not fulfilling what God wants. Has I am chosen you? Or are you being secular and acting as if you're of the devil? I'm asking a question to you. Where are you? What are you doing? Have you been chosen? God wants more from us, my brothers and sisters. He wants more from us. He wants more. And I'm encouraging you this morning to give him what he wants. To give him what he wants. We have a couple of callers. Evangelist Brogdon, if you're available, can you press 1? Amen. Thank you, Lord. He wants more from us. Thank you, Lord. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. What is it you need to share?
When you were talking about secularization, I was talking with a friend yesterday. We were talking about actually, we were talking about the state of the nation, state of the quote unquote church, and how we were talking about how pastors had to refer to their congregation in order to get their approval on to do certain things. And in specific, we were talking about same-sex marriage. And I'm like, since when does the leader of the church have to go to the flock and ask for their opinion when they should be directed by the Holy Spirit and the Word? And you're right, we do need to get it together. People really need to pay attention of how things are happening political-wise, and coordinate with what has been spoken in the Word, and then we need to get it together. I've noticed a lot of leadership going with the flow, going with what the people want, and not taking a stand on what God says. And she and I were discussing yesterday, well, you know what? If that means that we're going to lose networking network connections, if we're going to lose funds, if we're going to lose so-called friends, so be it. Because I don't want to compromise and lose, you know what I'm saying, and lose myself in foolishness
mm-hmm.
just so that to be sensitive to someone's feelings.
Yeah.
Ah,
amen.
There we go. Yeah, that's my comment on that.
Amen, amen, amen. I felt something, so amen. Thank you for sharing.
Yes, you're welcome.
Amen, amen, amen. So, again, even as Evangelist Bogdan has shared, there's a lot of discussion that a lot of people are having, leaders and non-leaders. Well, I'm going to say leaders because each one of us has a capacity within us to lead. And we wonder why an opportunity hasn't presented itself. It's because we haven't readied ourselves. We don't want to make God look bad because of our actions, because we tell people we're Christian, because we tell people we're saved, because, you know, people say, well, will you pray for me? Can you lay hands on me? Can you come and visit me and we can do all of that? But then in the blink, they see us on the other side of the street and we look like everybody else. Come on. There's a time and a time is now that we get in right standing, that we get in right relationship, that we begin to look the way God wants us to look, sound the way God wants us to sound. Be who God wants us to be. Because he has chosen you. He's chosen you for greatness. He's chosen you with purpose. And it's his desire, as it is mine, and this ministry, to see everyone fulfill their purpose in the earth. One thing about the empowerment place, we don't bash anybody. We don't bully anybody. We're about being upright before the Lord. If it means that we have to be chastised, thank God for that, because the word tells us that God chastens those that he loves. But we know that love covers a multitude of sin. So there's no place that any of us has gone that we can't repent of, turn around, and get in the right place with God and be the leader he's called us to be. Again, Moses went through some things, being somebody, finding himself on a path of nothingness, and then finding his place in relationship with the Father such that it did not matter to him what took place. He got to be face to face with the Father. This morning, I want you to take time and really reflect on your position, your relationship with God. Understanding that the price has already been paid for you to be everything that you desire to be according to God's will, plan, and purpose for your life. The things that God has given you to do that are different from anybody else. But because you've not been in place, he has had to pass it on and allow somebody else to do something very similar because you weren't in place. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. We thank you. We thank you for your love this morning, God. We thank you for your tender mercies. We thank you for your kindness towards us. We thank you this morning, Father, for what you're doing in each of our lives. We thank you even for what you're doing corporately among us. We ask, Father, this morning that as you're raising us up, God, allow us to especially be a light for our children. God, for we're realizing, we're seeing, we're feeling the attacks, oh God. But we thank you for your blood that even covers our seeds on this morning, Father. We thank you for the hedge of protection even around them this morning, God, in the name of Jesus. God, that they would be who you've called them to be, those that we have now in the generations to come. We thank you, Father. And we ask that as we go forward in this day, that you will continue to show us ourselves, show us our truths, show us the errors of our way, show us our weaknesses, show us our sin. Father, that we would repent, God, turn from our wicked ways. Father, that we would cry out unto you for another chance. We thank you, Father, that you have chosen us and that we will be the kingdom ambassadors that you desire us to be. And we count these things done in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I pray that this has been a blessing to you as it has been to me. I thank God for speaking. I thank him for posing the question this morning. And I thank him now for what he's going to reveal to me. We tell everyone in Empowerment Place that every day we're to do something to empower ourselves. Then once we've been empowered, we take the responsibility to empower others. Why? Because we realize that we are the key to our own empowerment. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. But because Jesus did it on the cross for each of us, we can get up from where we are right now and we can go forth and be that great leader that God has called us to be. I love you all. I thank you so much for joining us. Ask that you join us this Thursday at 7 p.m. where our guest will be from BigSis.com. You'll want to be here to hear about this. This is some phenomenal women who are aiding women who have been victims or are being victimized through sexual abuse, physical abuse, whatever the abuse may be. But BigSis.com is a new organization that's coming forth to be of help, and we want to support that. So, again, join us Thursday evening at 7 o'clock p.m. Until then, know that you're loved. We love you, and God loves you too. God bless.